with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
The following is a special pre-recorded broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Please enjoy this message and happy Independence Day from First Conservative Baptist Church.
Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, it's on page 970 in my Bible. Isaiah chapter 1, we're going to look at a message that I originally preached back in 2014, and the transcription of that is in this book called A Nation on Trial, a verse-by-verse study of Isaiah chapter 1. That has been a very, very well-received book, and I'm thankful for it. And normally, in fact, when I did the message for the transcription for the book, it was a 2.5-hour message. I'm going to try to cut it in half today for the benefit of those that get a little antsy after 12 o'clock and thinking somehow that the pastor is supposed to stop at 12. But we will make it convenient enough so that we can still go back into the lunchroom and have our meal together. Stand, if you will, please, out of honor and recognition of the reading of the Word. There are 31 verses in chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read the first 15, then we will look at the balance of them as we get to that point in our studies today. Isaiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1 and following. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the day of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heaven, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nursed and brought up the children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. The sinful nation, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupt. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, they have been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour in it your presence, and in the desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in the vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts hath left unto us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom, and should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our Lord, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or the lambs or of the goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread under the courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and the Sabbath, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feast, my soul hateth. They are trouble unto me. I am weary to hear them. Verse 15. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make my many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Thank you, and we may be seated. As we look at the text, I have simply called it A Nation on Trial. As we look at this text that is before us today, I want to remind us that we, perhaps as never before in the history of the nation that God has given us, never before have we seen a total disregard as we're seeing today, a disregard for God. It seems somehow, some way, that most people seem to feel that we are simply invincible as a nation and as a people in the nation in which we're living in, as we witness the declining morals, the lack of ethics, and the rush headlong into the abyss of evil. Some individuals, as well as our leaders, have simply forgotten God. I believe we are looking at a nation today where our leadership, I go back to Jerry Nadler, the U.S. Congressman in the House. Jerry Nadler, on one occasion when they were trying to pass House Bill 5, which was the sodomite bill that would make it illegal for any Christian or any school, any university or any church to say anything about the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, when a congressman was on the floor reading from the Bible, reminding the people that were about to vote, reminding them what God's word says about that immoral condition. Jerry Nadler screamed out loud. He said, the word of God, the Bible, God has no place in the halls of Congress. And I believe that speaks volumes of where we are in our nation today in general. The leadership in the days of Isaiah, the leadership, we're in a position where somehow, some way, just as today, there was a mindset that we do not need God, a mindset that God is not needed. In Isaiah chapter 1, it's what I call God's solemn subpoena to come into the courtroom, to the bar of justice, for the ultimate supreme court, the universe, the supreme court of the universe, God himself, to make the ruling and the decision and issue the summons and issue the determination about a nation that is guilt-ridden. God is the judge. God is the judge. He is the one that brings the charges against the nation of Israel in this text. He is the one that will make the determination and the decision of guilty or not guilty. This was in the time of the nation of Israel, in the time of absolute catastrophic and cataclysmic events taking place. There was a social upheaval in society of that day, much like we find in society today. The Assyrians, the most brutal nation ever, was marching with the corrupt conquest of a globe. Already the northern portion of Israel had been taken captive, and now the southern portion of Israel, Judah, is in a very precarious position of being taken. The situation is dire. The situation is desperate. The situation is difficult for Israel. The situation sounds very much like we find in America today. As a nation, we've rejected God. We've ridiculed the Word of God. As Christians, we see today falling away as never before in the nation of America. In fact, I recently heard a frightening statistical survey that had just been completed that said that some 40 million Christians, so-called Christians, 40 million had dropped out of church and would list as church attendance none. I find it frightening when we understand we're in the great day of apostasy. Although the Word of God says that we're going into that direction, it is frightening to see the headlong plummeting that we are headed in that relationship. U.S. history will show that we're at the lowest level academically, we're at the lowest level morally, we're at the lowest level spiritually of the United States of America in the history of our nation. We've murdered between 65 and 70 million babies in the womb. We now have a push for the LGBTQ sodomite agenda and the butchering of boys and girls pushed by the Oval Office, by the President of the United States of America, with the push to allow the LGBTQ community to have dominance and absolute say-so. A people in our nation with 4% or less now controls about 98% of what the House and the Senate does and what is carried out by we have our government in America today. We're a nation that's immoral. We're watching the illegal despots running our nation. We're watching how we've fallen away from the Word of God. We're watching today as the world is laughing at America as a result of our stand against our sovereignty and trying to undermine and destroying that sovereignty. The Marxist Socialist Communist Network News, along with the Oval Office, simply seem to have no restraints whatsoever. And you find that to be true in the days of Isaiah. You find it to be true in what God is saying in this text in relationship to his charge in the courtroom of God as they are brought before the bar of God, the bar of justice. I want us to understand, as we look at this text, the prophet Isaiah, the preacher Isaiah cautions and warns of God's judgment by the hands of the Babylonian captors unless they turn back to God before it's too late. Now, I want us to take a few minutes as we enter into what I call God's courtroom. God is the prosecutor. God is the judge. And the charges are set forth, approximately setting the stage for what God is going to say and do. In the midst of the trial, God gives an opportunity for clemency. God gives an opportunity for the nation of Israel to repent and turn back to God. And I believe that we missed that opportunity in America just a few years back. And I've had folks to get upset because of our marquee out there saying, pray for Donald Trump. I don't make any equivocations. I don't try to bow and submit to what the world thinks or says. I believe that when God placed Donald J. Trump in office in his election in 2016, it was God's divine intervention in a nation, giving America an opportunity to turn back to God. And I'm not saying that because I think that he is a perfect person. As I've said many times, when it comes to elections for our president, we're not electing Jesus. We're electing a man with a spine that loves America, that will stand for our great nation. And I believe that God's given us that opportunity. I believe we foreclosed that opportunity. I believe we're watching and witnessing today the progressive judgment of God on a nation that said no to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. So let's enter into the trial of a nation on trial. We see three things that I believe is needful for us to understand and get a grasp at. What we're seeing in America is not the first time. It's a replay of what we see in the text that is before us. We see the chronicle of charges recorded in the first 15 verses. Secondly, we see the condition of clemency revealed in verses 16 through 23. And thirdly, we see the call for conviction reviewed in verses 24 through verse 31. Notice, if you will please, the chronicle of charges recorded in the first 15 verses. God has been removed from his rightful position and authority. He's been divested of his power. He's been robbed of his regal recognition. And God's been rejected and ridiculed and removed from the public arena. But God is not weak. God is not sick. God's not had COVID. God's not dead. God still punishes sin. And I believe that we need to understand, as we see in this text, that God's still on the throne, God's still alive, and God still punishes nations for turning their backs on God. And that's what we see before us. We swing doors to the open of the courtroom and listen. First of all, we see the prosecutor revealed. The prosecutor's revealed in this text. Notice in verse 1 and 2, in any courtroom, in any setting of prosecution, the prosecutor has to present his case. The prosecutor is introduced in this text. The evidence is set forth before the jury, and the prosecutor presents the case and the circumstances and the character of the trial is set in motion. Notice, first of all, in verse 1, the circumstances. We are given here in this text an historic overview of the circumstances and the national condition that has brought about the national calamity that is before the nation of Israel. A review of the political leaders are given here. The king of Judah. Notice, first of all, we find Uzziah. Uzziah was slain. In fact, at your leisure, go back and study 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and you find that Uzziah was a great man. He reached great heights in the leadership of a nation. But when he became strong, he took it upon himself then to somehow, some way, feel that he could enter into the house of God. By the way, 2 Chronicles chapter 26 is a separation of church and state. God said to Uzziah as king, you cannot go into the temple and offer sacrifice. That is the responsibility. 81 priests challenged the king, do not go in. That's our responsibility, not for the leadership of government, not for the king to enter in and offer sacrifice. It's not for the king. Uzziah disobeyed, dishonored. He literally was wroth, the scripture says. That means he got bent out of shape with the priests, the preachers that said, no, you cannot enter into the church of God. And as a result of that, God killed Uzziah. Study the text. It sets the pace, I believe, for what we need to understand as a nation today, morally, ethically, theologically, and politically, as to what is taking place. Uzziah was slain because his intrusion into the house of God as he tried to usurp the authority of the priest. Jotham, Uzziah's son, followed. He was a good king. Ahaz, Uzziah's grandson, was a bad king. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 33, the scripture says, Ahaz did more to provoke God to anger than all the kings of Israel. Then you have Hezekiah, was a good king who asked God to prolong his life. And as you see, as you study the text, you realize God prolonged his life. And as a result of that, he lived another 15 years in which the nation turned away from God. Sounds so much like the historical leaders of America today. You'll have one good king, our leader, our president, if you will, that will focus the people on God and honoring God and doing that which is honorable. You find another king, i.e. president, that will come into leadership and will try to destroy and dethrone God. By the way, the three major elements of Marxism, for those of you that do not know, there are 10 major points of Marxism. The three major elements of Marxism is, number one, destroy the nuclear family. Number two, divide the nation ethnically. Thirdly, is to dethrone God. And that's what we see taking place in America today. Those are the three major elements of Marxism. And Marxism is alive and well today in our nation. Notice not only the circumstances, but notice the courtroom. Verse 2, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. Can you hear the bailiff saying, hear ye, as the judge walks out? That's what we see in this text. Literally, that's what is taking place. As the judge enters the courtroom, it is hear ye, hear ye. We see the prosecutor as he calls the courtroom to attention. God calls the world and the heaven on earth as the jury, the witness, the case that's against the nation of Israel. The trial is proceeding. The trial is open. And they're presenting the charges before the nation of Israel. The prosecutor revealed. But notice the presentation reviewed. The presentation or the presentments reviewed. Notice the basic underlying charges. In any case, especially a case where there's a felony trial, there's the presentment of the basic charges, and then later there's the opening of the additional charges against the one that they have charged with that felony, if you will. Notice the basic charges in verses 2, 3, and 4. First of all, you see in verse 2, you see national rebellion. National rebellion. Now, I want us to listen to the text that is before us with the understanding, not just a historic setting of what was taking place in Israel, but want us to understand it with the application today. America, 247 years old, and yet America today, we're watching the demise of our great nation because the leadership in our nation, and we'll see the nation of Israel is on trial, just as I believe God is now trying America for what we're doing and turning our backs on God. Notice the basic charge. First of all, the basic of the basics, if you will, is national rebellion. And they have rebelled against me. God says, I've blessed them. I have nourished them, fed them, brought them up. That is literally from childhood. God is saying, I birthed you as a nation. And now there's national rebellion. America was birthed by God. And now we're watching national rebellion in our nation. God blessed America as no other nation on the face of God's green earth. And yet we have rebellion against God, anarchy against God. The mindset that God is not needed today in society. The mindset that all we need to do is to provide money, 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 and somehow, some way, everything will be all right in America. It's undermining and destroying our once great nation. God is saying, I provided you with things that I have not done for any other nation. And yet you've rebelled against me. Rebellion, what does that mean, rebellion? Rebellion simply means to stand against God, to stand against, to fight against, to defy, to challenge, and to disobey. God said, you are disobedient as a nation. God says, you have been disobedient in your rebellion against me. I don't know of anything else. I could take the next 2 hours and talk about the different areas that we've rebelled against God. As a nation, we've rebelled against God morally, ethically. We've rebelled against God spiritually. We've rebelled against God and what God would have. God created civil government as his slave servants. Today, the civil government has made the determination that we, the people, are the slave servants, and they're the oligarchs, the dictators, that should demand what we do in submission as a nation. Let me just simply tuck this little thought in. The pandemic of COVID was designed to bring about the submission of a free people unto an oligarch or a dictator in the Oval Office. We have failed the test from God. We have passed the test from the human standpoint. We have failed to stand for truth and to stand for God. We fail by submitting to what the government says rather than what God says in our nation today. I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in relationship to pointing his finger at America and getting America to see what God would have us to do. God said, you're disobedient. Today in America, we've been disobedient to God, disobedient to his word as a nation. We've said no to God. There's no prayer in the schools. The sodomite agenda is pushed today. The CRT division of America is being pushed today. Churches are closed today. George Barna said we have 300,000 churches in America. September 2022, in that survey, he said in 18 months, one out of every five churches will close in America. We find today, according to the surveys, that about 1,500 pastors are leaving the ministry every 30 days in America. We're watching the pop-up churches with the pop-up preachers with the pop-up theology that's growing. They have the cotton candy theology, the goosebump theology. You say, well, what is that? Cotton candy theology. Cotton candy tastes good, but it's not filling. Goosebump theology makes you feel good, but it doesn't answer the questions of life. Together, I simply call them voodoo theology. We've got a lot of that in society today in our nation. But the opening of the Word of God and proclaiming the truth of God's Word and the claims of Christ upon a life that needs to know Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord is almost non-existent in our churches today. Most of the Osteenites that want to follow the be happy even though you're married mindset. There's a mindset today that says that we do not need to obey God, that somehow, some way, we need to not recognize God. God is charging the nation of Israel with national rebellion. What does that mean, national rebellion? It means they've rejected God, said no to God. He's charging them with also no recognition in that third verse. But as Israel doth not know my people, doth not know, doth not consider, no longer do they recognize God. No longer is there a consideration of God. From the White House to our house, the people in America today, we do not recognize God as creator, as controller, as owner, as sovereign over this old world. Somehow, some way, we've devolved to the position that we don't need God, that all we need is the socialist Marxist media to tell us what to do and what we need to believe and how we need to respond. Evolution is the ruler today, not God. Evolution rejects God as creator. The theory of evolution is contrary to all of the scriptures. We must have the laws of our land as they see it and not recognizing God is the ultimate lawgiver. We make and enforce laws without any consideration of what God would do and how God would be honored or dishonored in carrying out those laws. Our society today is saturated with thugs and with drugs and with drinking and dissipated morals and sexual perversion, abortion. Abortion is no longer called sin. It's a woman's health right, health care, it is called. Homosexuality is no longer called sin, it's just an alternate lifestyle. Somehow, some way, there's the mindset that we can reject God and reject God's word and rebel against God and still think that somehow, some way, God needs to bless America. May I say to you today, we're living with no recognition of God in a nation. National rebellion, no recognition. Verse 4, no restraints. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquities. What is iniquity? Twisted, perverted sin. Iniquity also, depending on the context that it's in, can also be translated as lawlessness. So it's twisted, perverted sin being seen in lawlessness. A seed, when verse 4, a seed literally continues to grow and spread of evildoers, children that are corrupt. That is literally a process of rot, a process of corruption, a process that corrupts everything that it touches. Everyone doing what he or she deemed in their own lives to please them. This is the reason we have the so-called believers today that believe that somehow, some way, you can smoke pot, drink, use drugs and other major substances, embrace the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle, and somehow think that God still honors it. I've been surprised and saddened to see every mainline denomination, hear me, every mainline denomination, in one fashion or another, embrace the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle. Southern Baptist Convention included. Just recently, there was a debate at the convention. I called it a debate over the Bible. They were trying to make the decision with committee meetings and with voters, et cetera, whether or not a woman could be ordained as a pastor. I screamed at the television when I watched some of the news. Turn to the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 3. It gives you the answer. You don't need a committee. You don't need to vote. You just simply need to obey God's word. Two presidents in the convention ago, Dr. J.D. Greer. Dr. Greer said, and I quote, "The churches need to embrace the LGBTQ lifestyle, need to bring them into the church, fellowship with them, give them an opportunity to love God and to serve God in our local churches." I want us to understand we've fallen away from God. We've fallen away from the Word of God. And that's what God is saying here to the nation of Israel. There's a national rebellion. There's no recognition. There are no restraints. In our nation today, there seems to be anything goes. Whatever you want to do, it is all right. And it's being promulgated, pushed, and pressed by the White House and the Oval Office in particular. Joe Biden needs to be retired. Those that are his handlers need to be charged with senior abuse. I believe that we're watching the demise of our nation, and it's being carried out and promulgated by the leadership in our nation today. Notice in fourth verse also, no relationship. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are all gone astray, gone away backward. May I say to you today, the Barner Report, I enjoy the Barner Report. Perhaps some of the most prestigious, conservative, honest reporting about religion in America. The Barner Report says that 91% of Americans, 91% of Americans claim to be religious, but only 21% attend church. And the attending of church was on the basis that they go at least once a month. And so therefore it's called church attendance. Out of the 91% that claim to be religious, only 21% attend church on a regular basis. May I say to you, there's a problem. Only 6% of adults in America have a biblical worldview. 6% of those that say they're saved have a biblical worldview. Only 4% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, have a biblical worldview. And out of that 4%, 57% of that 4% believe that lying is okay, cheating is all right, drugs are okay, and the sodomite lifestyle is okay. And we call that a biblical worldview. According to the Barner Report, 13% of the executive pastors, only 13% of the preaching pastors, that is, only 13% have a biblical worldview. On the executive pastors, only 4% have a biblical worldview. On the youth pastors, only 11% have a biblical worldview. And yet somehow, some way, we feel that God needs to continue to bless America when we've turned our backs on America. There's no relationship, verse 4. God is charging the nation of Israel. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger and gone away backward. Verse 4 also, there's no return. They're gone away backward. That is, going in the opposite direction. They're traveling in the opposite direction morally, ethically, and spiritually. The word backslidden means to turn our faces against God. No desire for God. Not seeking God's face. The charge is that we've turned our backs on God. This is the very serious position I believe that we're in as a nation today. God will get our attention. He knows how to get our attention as a nation. It may be a Katrina. It may be a major fire. It could be a major flood. God knows how to get the attention of any nation that's turned our backs on God. Somehow when calamity comes, somehow when devastation takes place, there's a mindset that where's God? God has not moved. God's not asleep. God's not dead. But where have we moved to? What have we done? We've turned our backs on God as a nation. We're looking at a text, a nation on trial. And I believe this can be applied in every aspect of the life and the work of the United States of America today. We're watching that take place before our eyes. I believe this is a very dangerous position to be in. God will get our attention. God knows how to do so. And guess who wins in the end? God does. We're looking at it today. The presentments reviewed. We've seen the basic charge. But they're only the root cause of all the other charges. Notice now, we're in a courtroom, court setting. The basic charges have been presented. The presentment of the charges have been read. And here we see, then, beyond the basic charges, notice the broader charges in verses 5 through 15.
Please stay tuned after the news for the remainder of this special broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
WTRJ-FM, Orange Park. WAYL-FM, St. Augustine. WATY-FM, Folkestone. WMUV-HD4, Brunswick. And W272-CQ, Jacksonville. WTRJ, the truth.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.